Blog Talk Radio.
This black man, direct descendant of the originator of the heavens and the earth, and in him is the knowledge of how to build not a temple, but a new heaven and a new earth. They look at black people and know who we are. Yeah. This holy person was hit in the head by three ruffians. Jubilah, Jubilo, and Jubilum. And when he was hit in the head, he was carried to the north country and buried in a shallow grave with a sprig of cassia coming up from the grave to let the world know that there's life down here. But who can get up the man in the tomb? Nobody but one with a master grip. Nobody but one with a lion's paw.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Ava Muhammad, and you are listening to Elevated Places. That was the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the national representative of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam, the warner, the guide, the messenger and carrier of truth, the one chosen by Allah and His Christ to lead us into a universal change and a new world order of freedom, justice, equality, and economic independence. We are live on Blog Talk Radio. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/elevated places. Elevated Places is a forum where we hold intelligent discussion centered around the principles of freedom, justice, and equality. And you can call in and join these discussions. All are welcome to participate and share your thoughts, share your views, so that this can be a full and well-rounded discussion. We are at 347-324-5091, 327-324-5091. And I want to say to all of you, it is a blessing to be back once again on blogtalkradio.com/elevated places. And as always, I have to acknowledge the powerful Elevated Places team that makes this program possible. I want to thank the entire team, and I will do that before the show ends. And, of course, my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, who is a world traveler, and as much as possible, and I think this is so critical, as much as possible, he strives and succeeds in being where Minister Farrakhan is in present tense. And he is with me again this evening, and I want to greet him. First of all, assalamu alaikum, Brother Terrence.
Wa alaikum salam.
It is such a blessing to have you here again. And I do want to let the listeners know that I myself am traveling. I'm coming from Michigan, where I was blessed to be in a conference today with others, with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And it's a blessing that you are here. Now, you were in Washington, D.C. this past weekend.
Yes,
I
was.
The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Yes. And we know, I urge everyone to get the latest copy of the Final Call newspaper. Ooh. Oh, my God. Because
hot off the press.
Hot off the press, because the flood of propaganda that is written of in the book of Revelations has begun to flow forth. The dragon is just getting started. He hasn't spewed the full flood, but the water is starting to come forth. And if we understand and study, and if we look at what's going on around us, the enemy of God is walking into a trap with his eyes wide open. And the bait to get him in that trap is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who is delivering a 52-week lecture series called The Time and What Must Be Done. And so, Brother Terrence, I'm going to ask you to discuss with us what took place, because there were some powerful events that Minister Farrakhan was the center of this weekend in Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States.
Well, you know, before I go into there, because that, you know, there's so much to say about that. I will say that in the modern day in technology, you know, this discussion is one that's necessary. We are at elevated places, and I want people to start to tweet and have a Facebook discussion about what's going on. So you can tweet at Louis Farrakhan, or you can tweet at Dr. Ava Muhammad, at Dr. Ava Muhammad. You can tweet this discussion that we're having tonight. And just remember to go to avaspeaks.com if you want some of her lectures. You want to make sure we get that out there. Couple of things before Minister Farrakhan, because that is so much to discuss with him. If you did not see President Obama do the White House Correspondents' Dinner roast this past Saturday, you need to go to YouTube and see that.
Yes,
our president took his opportunity to take jabs at different people, and he even referenced a Jay-Z song, "I Got 99 Problems, and Jay-Z is one." And so that was a comical time, but he took liberty at some of those folks that was at dinner. Also, something that people need to know, if you do not know, as it is in the Final Call newspaper, but on Monday was the start of hearings at the National Press Club on them, a group of people wanting the release of the documents revealing extraterrestrial or UFOs files that the United States has, as other countries have already released their files, and so there's a call for the release of those files in the U.S. government, as there have been many sightings, and as we will say, they're not UFOs. We know they're identified. We have the identification of those, but it's very key that that meeting is going on in the midst of everything else that is going on. So let's go right into what you want to say, and I want to sing a quick little tune, and it's not really a singer, but if you remember this song, "I'm Telling You Once, I'm Telling You Twice, Farrakhan is coming to town." And Farrakhan came into Washington, D.C. this past weekend, and it is always an honor, a privilege, and a great blessing to be in the midst of this beautiful divine man. He arrived in the city of Washington, D.C., and, you know, when you watch him coming in and the movement that he attracts and the love of the brothers and sisters to want to secure the servant of God, it is a beautiful sight. It's a joyous sight. And it's a sight as looking at the president travel, because he is a head of state and treated across the world as a head of state. And when he arrives, people are waiting for his arrival. As we're waiting to secure him, they're waiting there, lined up to take pictures of the minister when he comes into his hotel. And on Saturday, he met at the Rock Newman show. And if you have not seen it, just put in YouTube Farrakhan the Showdown, or put in Rock Newman Show, April the 27th, and see the broadcast where Minister Farrakhan was on the Rock Newman Show. And in that show, he called for a showdown. And being that Rock Newman was once a fight promoter, he asked him, set it up. And that fight promotion or that showdown is with the Southern Poverty Law Center, who has labeled the Nation of Islam a hate group. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan went right into it very strong. And he said, no, all he only called the man that's over that, but also called Abraham Foxman, the ADL, and the head of the 12 Jewish organizations to a showdown. As the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, he said he doesn't argue, he makes statements. And you can take it or leave it alone. And he did that powerful show, and he came back on Sunday with a beautiful lecture at the wonderful church of our brother Reverend Willie Wilson at Union Temple Baptist Church, and he was celebrating his 40th anniversary, which was a wonderful celebration, and the minister gave a wonderful, wonderful lecture, and from there he went to Mosque Number 4 under the leadership of student minister Abdul Qadir Muhammad, and he spoke briefly to the believers of the mosque. So it has been a packed weekend, and I know we're going to get into the discussion. But as I said, Farrakhan is coming to your town, so get ready, because not only did he just leave D.C., he will be in Detroit, Michigan, May 17th. So those that want to travel or will be in Detroit, Michigan, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is coming there. He's going to be speaking at a church, and he's also going to be speaking in reference to the issues that are going on in the city of Detroit. So as Minister, Sister Minister Ava said, you don't want to not be where he is, and you do not want to miss anything that is coming from this beautiful servant of God's mouth. And that lecture on May 17th will be at 7 p.m. Doors open at 5:30 at the Fellowship Chapel, 7707 West Outer Drive in Detroit, Michigan. And it's a free event. You want to make sure you come.
And, you know, Brother Terrence, if we could back up to the Rock Newman show and the Southern Poverty Law Center, you know, as Minister Farrakhan has said, the Nation of Islam predates the existence of the Southern Poverty Law Center. And beyond the spiritual, moral base for our existence, the United States Supreme Court, during the litigation wherein Muhammad Ali was found to be within his rights to issue a conscientious objection to going to Vietnam. And for those unfamiliar with that, during the Vietnam War, when Muhammad Ali was at the height of his boxing career, he was drafted by the U.S. government to go to join the military. And he refused, and his refusal was based on the fact that he was a Muslim follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and as a believer in peace, and as one who did not have in the Vietnamese people an enemy, that he was not going to go over and fight a people who had not attacked or were fighting him. The Quran says, fight with those who fight with you.
Right.
But Allah does not support or back. In fact, he prohibits aggression. And so when Muhammad Ali did that, he was threatened with imprisonment. He was stripped of his championship, and he sued the United States. The case went all the way to the Supreme Court. And in the course of deciding that case, the Supreme Court held that the Nation of Islam is a religion, that what we believe falls within the protection of the First Amendment, and the fact that people may not like what we believe or agree with what we believe has no bearing on the fact. The issue of belief has to do with the sincerity of that individual. And the court found that Muhammad Ali in his words, deeds, actions was sincere. He was not just raising the specter of religion to keep from going to fight. And so I say that to say that we're not going to take this lying down. We've been classified for a few years as a hate group, and we're not going to tolerate it any longer.
And, you know, and I definitely hear you. And one of the good things, Dr. Ava, that you're talking about is, you know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, you know, at this Rock Newman show, is that when he called for the showdown, you know, one of the things that he mentioned is that I think it was the Ted Cooper Copper show about 30 years ago. He said be intelligent. He mentioned how, you know, they wanted him to come on to the radio on the TV show about what was going on, the beef between the Jewish community. But he said it would be better if we resolve that situation behind the scenes and then come on national TV and let everyone know that now we have resolved it. He said, but not now after 30 years of the lies the slander that they have put on the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that we should do it nationally and internationally and have this showdown. You bring your facts and we'll bring our facts, as we have given the books, The Secret Relationships Between Blacks and Jews, Volume 1 and 2, in which the minister has stated repeatedly, we have only quoted Jewish scholars, rabbis, historians. So once you deny the scholarship that we quoted, then maybe we will denounce the book. But he, as he stated, you will not come just like roaches and rats flee when the light. You can't handle the heat, and you can't handle being in the light, because you will get exposed.
Yes, the people are entitled to be made knowledgeable of the substance of the argument. We, as you just indicated, we've been defamed, we've been libeled and slandered. Number one, we're not a group. We're not a group. We are a nation within a nation. And we don't hate anyone. And if you want to charge us with hate, then come forward and show where we have demonstrated hatred of anyone. Now, the fact that we know who you are, and that Minister Farrakhan and those with him are willing to call you out on your record. No one is attacking you. What we are attacking are your heinous crimes against the poor, the black, oppressed people in this country and around the world. You've called the minister a hater. You've called us hate group. You've called him crazy. You've called him everything except a liar.
That's right.
You have said he's anti-Semitic. What is a Semitic? What is that? Can we come out in public and talk about what a Semitic is and what Semitism is and who the real Semitic people are? You are not going to continue to just run out, throw a rock, and then, as you said, Brother Terrence, go crawl back into a crack in the floor, because this is actually impeding the opportunity of the masses of people to be saved, and it can no longer go unchallenged.
I think I hear a voice as you're talking that has come on to the call. I think that's our Elevated Places contributor, who was also with you today in the presence of our wonderful, beautiful, beloved minister. So we want to welcome on to our show Dr. Ridgely. Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, wa alaikum salam. And I'm following in the footsteps of my brother Terrence. I'm at the airport I'm on a commercial flight, not a baby plane. So waiting at the airport to board. So I'm just listening, and I just wanted to say one thing about this showdown and about this struggle with the people who call themselves Jews. They threw the first stone at the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We got to go back to the history. In 1984, when Minister Farrakhan protected and defended our brother Jesse Jackson.
Right.
So they started this, how do you want Farrakhan? You know, who do you want? Farrakhan. How do you want him dead? So then those who loved the minister started researching these people who, for no reason, started beating upon the minister. So the research exposed the history that they should have left alone. They should have left the minister alone, and maybe the history would never have come out. But, you know, they opened up the can of worms, and now we're going to close the can on the worms. Well, thank you, Salaam Alaikum, but I see the noise out here in the airport.
Well, Lake Salaam. And I think Dr. Ava, one of the things that is so critical about what you was partaking in today is that we, as all other organizations and groups, have what we call a research department. And, you know, research is something that you do. You go and you ascertain the facts and you go get information. And, you know, in today's society, you can get recordings, you can get YouTube clips, you can get a lot of different things. And I say that to say that we did not just get our opinions. We did not just get our thoughts about these things. Like I said, we studied a credible Jewish scholars and put all of their sayings and their writings about themselves in our book. So it's not something that is hate, as Minister Farrakhan really brought that out, because when you consider someone a hate group and you look at the record from our record and those of the United States and every police department in the nation, there's no record of us as an organization committing any violence of any people, white, black, brown, yellow. There's no history. There's no history of us being violent to Jews. There's no history of us being violent to anyone of the homosexual community. There's no history of us being the aggressor in our words or our actions to them. So we always, and he is still calling for the showdown to prove the records about the lies that they have and continue to tell.
Yes, because if we say, for example, that Hollywood or the film industry is dominated by Jewish people, that's a provable fact.
Right.
True.
See, why do you call me, why do you say, if Brother Terrence, if you and Dr. Ridgely and Brother Bobby Muhammad are on a basketball team, and you three are there, and the other two players are white, and we know that three is a majority over two, and I say your team is predominantly black. Why does that indicate hatred? I'm stating a mathematical and verifiable fact. There's an author, I gave the minister this book years ago, and I forgot the author's name, and I gave the book to him, and it was given to the research team. It's called How the Jews, it's called An Empire of Our Own. That's the title. An Empire of Our Own, subtitle, How the Jews Invented Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And the author of the book received a literary award for the book, the Jewish author of the book. And the book goes into the origins of MGM, 20th Century Fox, Paramount, Columbia Pictures, all of which were in our own and dominated by Jewish producers, Jewish directors, Jewish scriptwriters. All of the television programs of the 70s, Good Times, The Jeffersons, these comedies that made mockery of black lives. All were Jewish producers, directors, and screenwriters. There, one of the reasons that the brother that played James Evans, the father, on Good Times left the show was because they made such a buffoon of the character that was the oldest son. He was a complete clown, JJ. And the father said, I am not, I hope his name comes to me, he played
John Amos.
John Amos. He played Kunta Kinte in Roots. And he said, this is not what we were told the show would be about. But the point is, in the film industry, in the wake of slavery, when black people were coming out of slavery, all of this is laid out in Secret Relationships Between Blacks and Jews, that when we came out of slavery, we came skilled. We obviously knew how to grow food, how to build a nation, because we had done it for the white man. And we were craftsmen, and we were landowners. And when we came out, we were beginning to make progress. And one of the things that did the most to set us back was stereotyping us in the film industry, which was the Jews.
That's right. And one of the things, that author is Neal, N-E-A-L, Gabler, G-A-B-L-E-R, of that book, An Empire of Their Own, How the Jews Invented Hollywood. That is the author. So right now, I think you are there, still there, Sister Ava. We do have a caller that we want to take right quick. And after this caller, we do have some clips that we want to let everyone hear.
Sorry. My sound went out. Sorry, I'm driving.
Oh, no problem.
Yes, sir.
So we have a sister on. We have a caller. Welcome to Elevated Places.
Yes, sir, Brother Terrence. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Sister Ava and Dr. Ridgely, Brother Ridgely. My name is Sister Joella, and I'm so happy that we are on the air and we're talking about what took place last weekend, and it was just an awesome, divine experience to see and hear the minister and praise to Allah that he is able to defend and we are able to defend exactly what took place during our enslavement. So, again, I just want to congratulate all of us, and hopefully we will continue to get ready for the showdown. So, again, thank you and may God bless.
Sister. Thank you for that call, for that witness bearing. Thank you. But, yes, I think it's important, you know, that if we want to talk about who hates who, you know, why would you build an industry centered around projecting the image of black men as idiots and ignorant and thieves and liars, and projecting black women as whores, prostitutes, keeping us in positions of servitude in film? From the early 1900s, the blackface, the minstrel, Spike Lee's movie Bamboozled lays all of that out.
That's right.
And it continued right on up through this very moment. I was looking at a magazine the other day, and I turned the page, and here's this two-page spread of some TV show, and they have the whole cast posing in this picture. And there are probably 12 people in this cast for this show. It's either a drama or a soap opera. But the point is that there were 5 females in the picture, 4 white women and 1 sister. All of the white women were in dresses that came to the knee, and the neckline was up around the collarbone, which for this day and age is conservative.
Right.
The sister had on short shorts with a it would be as though you're wearing shorts and suspenders with no top on. These little straps that came up from the shorts and barely covered the nipple, and the rest of her was bare. And she's sitting on a stool with her legs crossed. And I'm asking myself, sister, do you have any idea of how you look? You know, as compared to these white women, and you're the only one in the photo that's dressed like that. So my point is, this has never stopped. And this is why the minister is calling for the showdown. He didn't start it, but he's going to finish it.
That's right. That is so right. Mm-hmm. So I think we do, well, since we're talking about the showdown, and for those that are just coming on, the showdown is the showdown that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan called for on the Rob Newman show this past Saturday. And remember, this is the Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad, and we want people to call in 347-324-5091, 347-324-5091. But I think, Dr. Ava, I think we are ready to go right into that clip of the showdown clip so people can know what we're talking about. And we also have some callers waiting. We're going to go to the callers. But at this time, I think, are we ready to go to the clip, Dr. Ava?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's roll the clip.
See, look, don't bring Potok alone. Bring the ADL, Mr. Foxman. Bring the presidents of the 12 Jewish organizations. Sit down in front of the world with us and our scholars, and we'll debate you, and I know you won't win. That's why you don't want to come on no show with me. Let me say this. I don't argue. I make a statement of fact. You can deal with it or leave it alone. But if you want a showdown, I'll call for it. You respond. Bring Mr. Foxman. Bring the 12 scholars of the Jewish presidents. Bring those who say we are anti-Semitic, and arrange a national and international showdown. And let's see where the truth is. Yeah, we can be one, but all liars and deceivers got to be shown up and put down. And he's one of them.
Whew. Mm-mm-mm. All praise and due is due to Allah. See, that, you know, I can't say better the truth than the minister said. And he reminded us today that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told him, he told Minister Farrakhan, he did not raise the minister to argue with people anymore.
Right.
He said the minister should not argue any more than the Pope argues with anybody. See, our teaching is direct from God in person. And that's the other thing. You know, we've spent decades trying to take the bold truth and wrap it up in packaging that is acceptable to savages, that is acceptable to beasts. And we're not doing that anymore. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, take it or let it alone. It is immaterial to me whether you follow me or not. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said in one of the early episodes of The Time and What Must Be Done, he told us why he's doing it.
Mm.
He said he's doing it so he can wash his hands of our blood. You know, we're not doing God any favor submitting to the truth.
That's right.
All we're doing is availing ourselves of a life raft.
Mm.
Because this whole entire way of life, this whole system of things is going out. And if we have a brain the size of a pin, then we ought to be able, if nothing else, even if we don't have the answers to problems, we ought to realize that the leadership of this world certainly doesn't have the solutions to any of our problems.
That's right.
And so, you know, back to the Illuminati that we've been discussing, and as we've said the last few weeks, one of their goals is to keep people from deciding their own destinies by means of one created crisis after another, and then managing such crisis to confuse, to demoralize the population. You know, they manufacture a crisis, anti-Semitic, anti-Semitism. This is manufactured. And then you've got Negroes running around like parrots repeating it.
That's right.
You won't go out and hear your own brother. You won't listen to your own brother because your slave master said he's anti-Semitic. You don't know what a Semitic is. You don't know what anti is. You don't know the origin of that term, the significance of it. But because they tell you it's objectionable, that here's somebody that's saying don't go with Farrakhan, but I don't see you propagating your religion in the ghetto. See, if you don't want me to be with Farrakhan, are you inviting me to come and be with you?
That's right.
I don't see anybody out here selling Moses Speaks. I have never gotten an invitation to a synagogue.
Come on.
You know, so we need to start using our common sense. So how is somebody that has never offered me a crumb going to turn me against somebody that's trying to save my life?
That's right.
This has got to be brought to an end.
So, boy, Sister Ava, I think you almost get ready to start lecture, the next lecture. And we want to encourage the callers to call, and they are on the switchboard. They are lit up.
All right.
I do want to remind everybody that you want to get the Final Call newspaper and look at the articles from last week, and especially the article that is in the current edition, which headlines Showdown Time. And Sister Ava has an article called Saving White Supremacy, Propaganda in the War Against Black Independence. You need to check that article out on page 16 of the Final Call. And we always want to remind everybody to watch The Time and What Must Be Done every Saturday night at 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern on noi.org/The Time. That's noi.org/The Time. The Time and What Must Be Done series by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But we do have a comment, one of our strong supporters, Dr. Salam is on. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Elevated Places.
Well, alaikum salam, family. Dr. Ava, Dr. Ridgely,
how are you, sir?
I'm doing perfect. And our beautiful flight lieutenant, Terrence Muhammad, I salute you, sir.
Salute.
Yes, sir. I'm trying to get closer, brother. They said it was a hiding of his power, so I'm trying to stay close to you, brother. Well, look, Dr. Ava, you just did a whole sermon, sister. We can just go to another to another phase. But I know how you feel, because you just shared something with me that I'm going to correct myself. You talked about the situation with the Southern Poverty Law Center down in Montgomery. You know, I have been networking with that organization, following some of the trials that they are doing and winning for our people. And I've talked to Mr. Morrison back and forth over the past 5 or 6 years. I even have them on my website as an associate. But I tell you what, in the morning, it will be off. Not that I ever been there, but I somehow in Birmingham at a conference one time, a legal conference. We kind of met, and he said, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and he put me on this mailing list. But that's one I will delete. When we find ourselves with anything close to being an enemy, the best thing to do after we get rid of the one within ourselves is destroy that one that's outside of us. But the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said something some years ago that stuck with me. And he said, the more you attack me, the bigger God will make me grow. Mm. So this spiritual warfare that we're in with these Jews, this is no more than that was told in the scriptures of the Bible. Jesus found himself in locked in a controversy with the Jews. And he said, for those of you who say that you are Jews and are not, I will make you of the synagogue of Satan. The reason they don't want to sit with our brother, he has too much fire. He'll burn him up. I don't mean with guns. I mean with truth. Truth is a hell of a thing when you oppose it. So that's kind of where, that's kind of where we are with that. But I want to make mention of one thing. I found a man named Dr. I don't know whether he's a doctor or not. It's Michael H. Kottman, and he posted some on Black America on the 1st of May. And it's really apropos to what we're trying to do in our separation and ownership of land. And his headline read, Blacks get poor as whites average 6 times the wealth of people of color. And I looked at that, and these are his words. He said, according to a new study by the Urban Institute's Opportunity and Ownership Project, white families average 6 times the wealth of blacks and Hispanics household, which was $632,000 as an average family income for whites, $98,000 for blacks, and $110,000 for the Hispanics. And it said later in that, he says, so why are blacks and Hispanics consistently behind in income and wealth? So here is somebody who's probably a Jew addressing something that we've been teaching all of the time. Everybody is not a Foxman. Everybody is not a Cohen. But those who are not, if they don't separate, then they're part of the destruction themselves. But this is what he said. He said there are 4 key reasons why the disparities are. He said, one is inequality in home ownership. 2, income. 3, education. And the number 4, something that's dear to my heart, is inheritances. We don't inherit wealth. We inherit debt from our deceased families.
That's the thing
that I've talked about for a long time. I write living wills. I make my living right and live in trust and live in wills and heirship affidavits. And it's so hard where it takes – and I met a German family at an airport and just told them what I do, and they did a living trust with me at the airport right here in Memphis. But I have to sit with blacks for days upon days and tell them how vital getting your business in order while you are conscious and can do it.
Yes.
So I'm just so glad you brought this to the table of this powerful brother who won't bear down, who in a couple of days is going to be 80 years old, who is getting stronger, even looking better.
The people are coming. Yes.
The people are following him. The people gather where he goes. This is Jesus in our midst, but he's not recognizes that because he looks like the slaves used to look. But this man is the man that we need to turn to. I just want to thank you, and I love you so much. We could have just hung up after Brother Terrence's testimony and yours. He's right on, sister.
You contribute a great deal to this program.
That's right.
Believe that. What you just said, Dr. Salaam, about the income and wealth disparity and the reality of that and the call for an economic blueprint that was given to us by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And Dr. Ridgey reminded us today that the propaganda attack was refreshed and stepped up when Minister Farrakhan stated, remember, he was going to introduce the economic blueprint at the Holy Day of Atonement.
Right.
And he had publicly announced that. And in Chicago in particular, things began to happen with the enemy. And you saw them beginning to start to roll out what is now starting to come to the surface. For example, the hate group being renewed and refreshed. There's nothing being said about us that hasn't been said before.
Right.
But it's being refreshed. The article that I wrote in the Final Call was a response to the Sun-Times, which is Chicago's largest newspaper in circulation, with a headline photo of the nation's student supreme captain, Mustafa Farrakhan, who is the third son of Minister Farrakhan.
Right.
And I bring that up because you said something very important, inheritance. Wealth is built on inheritance. And one,
right.
I opened up the article talking about how it takes generations to build a family that is strong enough to be part of a base for a nation.
Mm-hmm.
And so the
Ooh.
Enemy is always looking to go after the seed. So when you start seeing attacks on the son, and they even made reference to the grandson
right.
in the article, see, now we know we're about to come to the serious confrontation. See,
right.
Because you don't want to just end my life. You want to end any possibility of my seed bringing to fruition the legitimate goals of our people. We are always systematically kept from ownership of real estate, land.
Right.
And you'll notice if you've got aunts, uncles, parents, when you reach a certain age yourself and that mortgage is about to be paid off, problems start coming up.
Mm.
And then if you pay the mortgage and own the house, you get in your 60s and your 70s, you spent your whole working life paying for this home, and now you're paying taxes on the
That's
house,
right.
and those taxes are set at a county level where black people are not involved in the political structure.
That's right.
And so you get these tax bills that are 10, 20, 50 times this little pension or Social Security check, whatever this fixed income is that you're getting in the mail once a month, and it's barely enough to keep the lights on. And you get a bill talking about you owe $12,000 in taxes. So America is structured in a way that you never really own anything.
That's right.
And as the minister has taught, capitalism is not democracy. This is they don't go together. And so to say we live in a democracy is false because we live in a capitalist society. This
That's
society
right.
is driven by money. And when you are kept from earning money, you will never have freedom, justice, and equality in this society.
That's right.
So I thank you for bringing that up.
Well, thank you for just being the one super powerful black woman on this planet. So I just love you, and I'll continue to listen, and I'll have I think I got enough to report on the flight lieutenant next week. I'm just trying to gather all my information, and I have a little evidence on something I think we witnessed, Dr. Ava. So I'll
yes,
hang up
sir.
And listen. I love you all so
all
much.
All right, we love it. Right. We love you too.
All right, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
You know, not know.
Brother Terrence, you are breaking up.
Still on the line.
Did you move? Your words
no,
are
I'm
breaking up.
No, I'm still on the landline.
Okay. Here we go again.
We're getting too hot. But I was curious to mention that you are the national spokesman for the that we need more, not just callers for the show, but more callers to bear witness. The man, of the man, just as we mentioned, Jesus in death. Out of the and out of the end of the process, speak the truth of that you have benefited from the questions from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So we would love to hear from more. We would love for people to be in their cities or on this talk show so that we can get more of this from our people. But I think we also have from Chicago the Able calling in. Welcome to Elevated Places.
Assalamu alaikum.
Waalaikumsalam.
I just wanted to really briefly get input from each of you in your thoughts on, and I believe Brother Terrence, you mentioned it earlier, not only Sister Ava's just wonderful, wonderful editorial, an article in the latest Final Call, which I think is absolutely something that should be studied and read, especially by members of the Nation of Islam. But I think all poor and oppressed people will benefit from the reading of that, as Sister Ava beautifully not only defends the minister, but uncovers and gives us insight into the scheming of the enemy within that article. I think it's a must-read. But, Brother Terrence, earlier you had mentioned, and this is what I wanted to ask for your thoughts, each of your thoughts on, was that the minister had mentioned about 20 years ago, I believe he said, he was supposed to be on a program with Ted Koppel and some of these Jewish leaders, and he had suggested that that conversation take place in private. And I was wondering what each of you thought in reference to the minister's tone and posture now being that, no, let's have the showdown in the public, and what that says about the time that we're living in right now, that something he wanted possibly to be more discreet about in the past, for whatever number of reasons, I'm sure, now he feels is something that must happen and should happen for all to see. And I was wondering if, in particular, Sister Dr. Ava and you, Brother Terrence, what your thoughts were about that, I won't say a change, but the difference from that time 20 or 30 years ago to the time that we're living in now and what that may mean for all of us who are listening.
Mm. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for that point. And I would just say this, and then I would definitely want to hear from you, Brother Terrence, that if you go to the manner in which Minister Farrakhan started the Time and What Must Be Done series, it was really at the prompt of his son Joshua that he started these broadcasts. And I believe that the only way that we're going to be able to fulfill prophecy is for the confrontation to be out in the open. You know, it is written that in the end that Satan would reveal himself. And so in order to get him, who is a master deceiver, he's not inclined to show who he is.
Mm-hmm.
His whole nature is that of a liar. And one of the reasons he's been so successful, as many have been able to get the masses of people to argue over whether or not he even exists. And if he does exist, the people have made him into a fictitious non-human entity. So Minister Farrakhan being the measure of the time and being on time is being divinely guided to say at this point, come out from under the rock so that the people can actually get a visual of the devil in action. You know, you speak in private. You and I talk in private when we have an interest in settling a matter, right? We go behind closed doors. You'll notice in court when there's a lawsuit, if the suit is settled, you don't go into the facts of the case. That's the whole incentive for a settlement, is that the wrong party, the party that's the wrongdoer, says, okay, if you don't take me to court and put what I did out in the open and go through my record step by step, I will compensate you for the injury. And so then the two parties come out together and they say there's been a settlement. And they'll say, oh, he acknowledged that he owes the party something, but neither of us is going to discuss the facts. So when you see a man say, let's do it out in public, he is signaling the people there will be no settlement. We're going to fight this to the end. And that is proof that we're at the end of their rule of this world. This is the final confrontation. And that's why 20 years ago, they were still in that period or cycle where they could have had an extension of time, and they refused to take it.
And all I have to say is I agree with everything she said. That's why she is the host of Elevated Places, and I am just your humble co-host on this side. She definitely represents the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So I agree with everything. So I have nothing else to say because that was so clear and given not only from a spiritual side but that of a law case and that of a case that has to be brought out or has to be tried. And you give a person the opportunity to, look, we don't have to go to trial. We can go settle this and get this taken care of. But they made a decision that they didn't want to settle. They wanted to drag it out. So
come on.
It's because they drug it out that we say, if you want to drag it out, well, let's drag it out and let's finish it, because it's been going on for 30-something years. So what are we going to do? I can't go behind closed doors because everybody in the world knows your position, but not everybody knows our position. So you have gained root in your position. You have taken precedence in your position. So why would you be so scared to nail, since you have made such an eloquent case for so many years that people believe you? Why wouldn't you want to have a showdown with me? Because they know that even 30 years of lies and slander that they have put, because he is the anointed one, which he is, that within one conversation, he can destroy 30 years of their best propaganda machines and knock it all out. So he can definitely hurl truth at falsehood, and it will knock out their brains. So that's what we're looking at. So I think today, since you're teaching everybody, and I think this is a call and response, so I want to hear from a caller, Brother Efren Guam, and let him welcome him to Elevated Places. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam to Dr. Ridgely and Brother Dr. Ridgely and Sister Dr. Ava, and of course, Brother Terrence. The minister has taught us to parse words. And when the minister used the term showdown, I went to look it up, and one of the definitions I found of showdown was a conclusive settlement of an issue, difference, etc., in which all resources, power, or the like are used, a decisive confrontation.
Come on.
And I thought, well, you know, where is this in the scripture? And my mind immediately went to 1 Kings chapter 18 with Elijah and the Baal prophets. Elijah summoned his people as well as the Baal prophets to a confrontation to prove whose God was God. And the interesting thing is that after that decisive confrontation wherein Elijah proved, in fact, that his God was God, he didn't stop there, because then he ordered the Baal prophets to be executed and slaughtered. And so I just want to get your take on where you see this in the line of scripture.
And Sister Ava, I want to add to what he just said to put out
there.
Yeah,
that's powerful. I love that. Yes, sir.
Yeah, but what I will add to what he's saying, the reason why I know Minister Farrakhan is finally got it because of that question. When I was there in the studio audience, and I will bring this up because it was a public event, it wasn't a private event, but when Rock Newman went off the air, you know, they were saying someone had mentioned, I can come back, be a rumble. I think he asked Brother Richard what would be the headlines for the final call, you know, coming up after this show. And, you know, Brother Richard was trying to think of something, but I think the word rumble came up or something, you know, like rumble in the jungle or something came up. And the minister mentioned how that wouldn't be the appropriate word because that could lead to other thoughts. And he said he liked showdown, you know. So when Brother Ephraim Guam brought that word up and he parsed that word, you know, I would love to hear, Minister Ava, what you feel about that use of the word and what Brother Ephraim Guam just laid out. Because, the minister doesn't waste any of his words. So he's very strategic, and God led about the things that he's doing.
No, I think what Brother just brought, that definition was phenomenal. You know, the finality of all of this, the finality. And there's no such thing as finality in the dark. Because if it's done behind the curtain, then it's not final. Because that means that the public is left in a dilemma. See, the public's been deceived, and so there's confusion. And Satan is the author of confusion. He keeps people in a dilemma. And that's what's going on right now in the United States, everywhere from the Congress to Wall Street to corporate America. The front news all week is an NBA, a mediocre NBA basketball player announcing that he's a homosexual.
Right.
Coming out of the closet. Black people can't get a word in or a nod from the president. But this man gets a personal phone call from President Obama for announcing that he's a homosexual.
Say that again.
And USA Today compares him to Jackie Robinson. I can't remember the last time I was so offended by a comparison. But my point is this: all of these non-issue issues, meaning that God is clear on what the law is, what's right and what's wrong. Satan is pretending and making us believe that there are things that are debatable, that in God's perception are not debatable. And so the issue is, who is in charge here? As they say, who's flying this plane?
That's
and
right.
So in order for the people to be made to see who God is going to demonstrate that he is the superior power. And, you know, so this is what happened with Moses and the children of Israel, who were so enamored of and fascinated with the Pharaoh and the Egyptian people and their wealth. And so Jehovah had to demonstrate to the children of Israel that this little cheap stuff they got is not real. This is not real power, but it's just the greatest power you've ever experienced. And that's the so-called Negro in America and poor white people. They really think that the U.S. government is the most awesome power in the universe. And so Allah is going to demonstrate in a short few days that they are not the ultimate power, that he is. So, that's all I can say is that I love that brother brought up Scripture, because in Scripture, what you're reminded of, this is not our war. Satan doesn't challenge the little people. Satan gets up in God's face.
Mm.
You know, in the Quran, he tells Allah, you know, I'm going to lie in the straight path.
That's right.
See, I'm going to take them away from you. And that's what an enemy does. He comes and tells a man, I'm going to rape your wife. I'm going to kill your children.
Right.
I'm going to demonstrate. I'm going to obliterate you. See, I'm going to wipe you off the earth. And so that is who the war is between. It's between God and Satan. And what people don't realize, and they'll see it in a minute, is that all along, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been the bait.
Right.
He has been the bait to draw out, to lure out, because nobody was capable before this of luring Satan out. It took Farrakhan, a man of such magnetism, such intelligence, such skill as to actually be the embodiment of the distinction between truth and falsehood, and now he is talking globally through the internet in one-on-one conversations that every human being virtually could have an experience with him one-on-one. That is what's luring Satan out. And there's only one man that has that degree of magnetism. And he only has it because he's backed by God and his Christ. And so Satan is coming out. He can't hide anymore. He can't sit and let this man talk like this and not respond.
And it's just like that. And Dr. Ava, you got a couple more callers because you are literally listening to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava, and it is a call and response tonight. And like you said, the minister is calling Satan out. And you know, when you have someone that supposedly is all big and bad, you can only take but so long to be pumped and talked junk of, and you know you're the bad one. And so the minister's like, if you're all that bad, come on out. You know, since I'm just a little minuscule man or boy that you may see me as, and I have no power, well, come punk me. And so the minister is calling them out, and as soon as they come out, they will get knocked out. And it reminds me of now that you know, in social media, there's something called World Star or Hip Hop World Star, whatever that is. They always show these funny clips, and they had this little boy talking junk and calling this little boy out. And this nice little boy that looked chubby and, fightable came and just punched him and knocked his lights out. And I say that, and it was something funny, but the minister is like that. They're talking all this about the minister, but he is backed by God. So when he throws a punch, there's no coming back from that. So as we carry watch this Mayweather fight, you know, the fighter may lose, but they'll be able to come back from that fight. But with a fight with the man of God, there is no coming back. And you have another caller that has a comment or question, our brother David. Brother David, welcome to Elevated Places. Assalamu alaikum. Do we have a brother David? If not, brother David, there. Let's go to brother Lewis. Brother Lewis, welcome to Elevated Places. Assalamu alaikum. All right. So Sister Ava,
well,
you still there?
Another one of these technical problems.
I see. I think we're trying to work out some more Blog Talk technical issues, and we are having some internet difficulties, and for whatever reason, for the last 3 weeks, I guess this show is getting a little bit too hot, and
I
as it gets
too.
Heated up, I guess we're burning, literally burning up the airwaves, Dr. Ava.
Yes, sir. And frankly, you know, I spoke with Blog Talk Radio. Their claim is that they were hacked. A hacker got into their website, but maybe, you know, a hacker is trying to get into the truth. And this, we're just living through exactly what we're talking about, that Satan has no choice but to interfere in this hour, you know, because the people through the internet, now everybody's got their little cell phones, their iPhone or their Droid, their MP3 players, their iPods, their laptops, their iPads. And so the people don't have to go through a self-made authority in order to hear from Minister Farrakhan. They can make a direct connection.
Right.
And as a result of that direct connection, you see now in the fullness of time that every lie that's told now is almost immediately challenged. We talked, I think, a little bit last week about the bombing, the Boston Marathon bombing. It didn't go over like the World Trade Center. Now, certainly it was not as large of an event, but immediately on the news, there were questions raised by people, by the press, and even now, there's a great deal of discussion about what actually was this about.
Right.
There, you don't see that rush to, we were attacked as a nation. There was an effort to try to make it appear that way. But you have these two young men, and they don't quite fit the prototype. You know, they're Muslims, which, of course, the government wants them to be Muslims to promote this war against Islam, but that's problematic because they're white.
Right.
And they're from Eastern Europe, from Russia. And they grew up in the United and were educated in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Thoroughly American, thoroughly westernized. So this is a little bit more complex than the stereotypical Muslim terrorist that they're accustomed to. And they finally were able to round up a brown face because they arrested some college students for aiding and abetting them after the fact. But the point that I'm raising now goes back to the issue of this open public confrontation between truth and falsehood, between God and Satan. And we are just quickly coming up on the time when that's going to happen. And, you know, the brother brought up showdowns and confrontations. You see Satan in the Old Testament challenging God about Job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he told God, yeah, take that hedge from around him.
Right.
I'll make him curse you to your face.
That's right.
See, so Satan's objective has always been to take the righteous to hell with him. He's already condemned. He already stands accused before God, the son of perdition. So the only satisfaction he has to get out of this thing is to take as many with him as he can.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
And he's working on that very well.
Right.
So I think he's working, and I say he's working as hopefully we are trying to work out these technical difficulties and to get to our callers. But one of the things I know he's working on, as I, you know, in this music industry, it was working a concert. One of the foremost rappers that's out there, Kendrick Lamar, he was in concert the other night that I had to work, and I, as I watched the audience, and the some of the songs, I didn't know all of the songs, but some of the songs that he started to sing, and some that was the most disrespectful to sisters, the sisters were singing the loudest, and they was really getting into it. And I say that because, you know, as you was talking about the dress, and as I've been last year traveling on the black college campuses and seeing the dress of our women on college campuses and seeing the generation of the music that we love called hip-hop from is a natural beginning to where it is today, that, like you said, Satan is casting his tail and is putting out propaganda. And as we were talking about the Illuminati in the last couple of weeks and what they are putting this world into, it's almost that they're setting the stage, you know, all of this violence. Y'all need security. You need us to come in, swoop down, and take care of the people because these are savages. And so it's a lot that's going on that we need to make sure that that we work out and pay attention to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and get prepared for this. Once again, I think I want to try and see if the technical difficulties have been dealt with and see if we can pull in Brother Louis. Brother Louis, are you there?
Assalamu alaikum. How y'all doing?
Oh, alaikum salam. There you go.
Brother Terrence, Sister Ava, Dr. Ridgely, we are thoroughly enjoying the show, and you are really, Brother Terrence, y'all are just raising the conscious level so much higher, and we really appreciate the show. I know we don't have too much time, so I have a question, and my question has to do with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan making his 80th birthday and comparing that to the 80th Surah of the Holy Quran, where it talks about a blind man tapping his way up to the prophet, trying to get the prophet's attention, and he was entertaining an assembly of the Christ who really wasn't going to accept the truth. Is there any relevance to that and us making more of an effort to just leave these Uncle Toms basically alone and deal with our people in trying to get a nation to call our own? So I'll just listen for your response. Hello?
Dr. Ava? I think she'll be coming right back on. I think you have the answer, and I think your answer is right. And I think more of what you're seeing in Scripture and more of what you're saying, Brother Louis, is going along with the time and what must be done. And I think the closer or as we continue to listen to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the time and what must be done, I think more of what you're speaking of will be revealed and where we are in that scripture. And as we know, the minister is walking both books, the Quran and the Bible. And, you know, a lot of comparisons, as our brother said, about the word showdown. The minister is not just, as I said earlier, speaking mere words. He, as he has always taught, you know, scriptures is like a script, something that has already been written, and he is playing the role, and we have to study the scriptures to see him properly. And that's the lens that we have to view Minister Farrakhan. So I know that what you have brought up, if we study the scriptures from the Bible and Holy Quran, we will see the minister. And if we keep our eye on him and keep our eyes fixed in prayer and in the word, then we will see the walk that he's going. Our job, as it was with Jesus of the Bible, is to be a true disciple and follow him. You know, pick up our cross, you know, and follow him, because all of us who say we are followers or of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the believer in the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, will have a cross to bear and a test to have to withstand, because the minister, you know, is the object, because he is the messenger of God in our midst. But those that follow him, as the Revelations, Book of Revelations talks about, you know, is going to attack this budding nation. So what you're seeing, I think we need to keep studying and keep watching every Saturday the time and what must be done. You still there, Brother Lewis? So if anyone can hear me, I hope that you know that we are trying to work through all of these technical difficulties, and you are on Elevated Places. Our host is Dr. Ava Muhammad, and I do believe that you all are still hearing us. And for those that may be on, I think we're going to try to also reach out to our next caller, Brother Michael. I think somebody else just jumped on.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, Brother Michael. Assalamu alaikum. This is not just
Wa-alaikum-salam.
Any Brother Michael. This is Brother Michael, the great Brother Michael from KBOL.
Please. Oh,
all the way from Waterloo.
People.
Welcome to Elevated people. Places.
Well, it is a blessing, and I thank you for accepting my call. And of course, Dr. Minister Ava, good to hear from you. And you, Brother Terrence, wonderful, wonderful program. I was thinking just as I was holding and getting so fed and thankful to Allah to be able to receive this, the importance of, I think Sister Minister Ava mentioned, technology today and how today, through technology, so many people are being reached, you know. So even in Iowa and other places throughout the world, you know, we can see the fulfillment of the minister's word when he said that, and he gave his word to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad that he would reach every nook and every cranny. And we can be grateful today. But I'm thankful for your program, because as I'm sitting here just thanking Allah for how this community is being fed and enlightened in a very intimate way, I also realize that your program, Sister Minister Ava, and you, Brother Terrence, and with you and Dr. Wrigley, you know, it actually throws a wonderful support to what the minister is doing in the Time series. One thing that I was thinking over when you were talking about the Rock Newman show, which the minister showed up, and I mean totally represented totally, in a, I mean, like fist pumping in your living room. I mean, you just could hardly sit still just over the joy of hearing the power of the Spirit of Almighty God, Allah, come through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But one thing that I thought about, you know, and have been thinking about so much, and I think I spoke with the editor-in-chief. We talked, and I think Sister Minister, Dr. Ava mentioned it at another time, but about being on the offense and not removing ourselves out of the posture where we're always on the defense. And this Southern Poverty Law thing, you know, it came up in my mind while I was listening to the minister just lay it out and call for that showdown, how, you know, we, in my mind, and maybe this is something that Dr. Ava or you, Brother Terrence, could just kind of, you know, expound on and thought, how we can expose the Southern Poverty Law, the ADL, for actually being hate groups themselves, you know, based on how they have mishandled and misrepresented and Dr. Ava, maybe from a legal point of view, how they have libeled and slandered the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the Nation of Islam, and our work. And one of the things, the key things that I heard the minister point out, Brother Terrence, Dr. Ava, you know, was the fact of the injury that has been caused to the Nation of Islam as one of the reasons why he's no longer, you know, he said he made that effort to sit down in the back room and to try to be amenable in a different way. He said, but today he's calling that showdown in the public because of the effect, because of the harm in words, and these are my words, not exact quotes, but the harm that has been caused to our effort in trying to work with our people today. We're struggling to reach the minds of our people because of the hate on the part of those who invented Hollywood, the Jews who invented Hollywood, the misrepresentation of the media, 96% owned and controlled media by the Jewish community. And as Assistant Minister Ava pointed out earlier, how the representation, and I think you also, Brother Chancellor, pointing that out, but how the representation of black life, the black culture, has been misrepresented, and how we have been culturally engineered into behavior that at this particular junction, it's almost what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said would happen had the enemy received one more book of mathematics, where we would literally be standing on our head. And if you look at our behavior today, we have gone to the pit of hell in how we are behaving in our community. But if one more thing that I just want to share and thought, I know time is short, but the minister shared this with us some time ago, but with three most hated men. And one of which, of course, was the rich man who shares his wealth with the poor. And then the second was the wise man who shares his wisdom with those who are deprived of it. And then thirdly, the man to whom the word of God is revealed and who shares the knowledge with those who seek it. And I believe the minister in part really reflects all of that, but more so the third part, who he totally personifies as a man who has been anointed divinely. And lastly, I just want to say in addition to that, that our greatest, in my humble view, offense is the establishment of the fact that the minister is the last Warner. There is absolutely no other Warner coming after the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And so I just want to see if you all expound, especially on this point of really at some point where we have to start laying out the argument, putting the ADL, putting the Southern Poverty Law Center, putting these organizations that pontificate, if you will, as being watchdog organizations for the interests of the public, but in truth really are agents that are working against the man of God, the messenger of Allah, and the movement of God, the Nation of Islam, which is the spearhead and vanguard movement for the rights of our people. So that's just my thoughts on it, dear brother, family. It really is a blessed program. If you had any other thoughts on it, I know we don't have a lot of time, but thank you so much for this program. I really appreciate it. It's totally feeding all of us, including me. I'm getting fed so much and so inspired by all of this. So I don't know if you can hear me or
yeah, I definitely can hear you, and I thank you for everything that you shared. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you so much. And as I said again,
we are down to about two minutes. And yeah. I'll just say quickly, we're definitely in a head to head. And of course, an example is we had to take them to task during the time of the Million Man March when they tried to use the assassination of Malcolm X to derail the Million Man March by arousing that negative emotional response in our community to the Nation of Islam, and that's what's coming back out again, this whole idea of a hate group and the so-called Negro being trained to view white people as God, to think that Jesus is white. And so the idea, if you hate Jesus, I want to run away from you as far as possible. All of those images have to be completely obliterated. Because the harm is not to Allah and His Christ and the minister. The harm is to the masses of the people.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, once again, we're down to the end, and I want to thank Dr. Ava, and as always, she wants to thank the Elevated team, our brother Bobby, Sister Rona, Sister LaDonna, and the whole Elevated staff, and I want her to just say the last couple of seconds that we have. Want to let her take it out, Dr. Ava?
Yes, sir, and thank you, Brother Terrence, Flight Lieutenant Terrence of one of our powerful planes. But really, you really handle it, and we thank Allah for you. And I want to give a special shout-out to Brother Bobby, the excerpt from Closing the Gap that is in my article in the final call was researched by Brother Bobby, actually for the purposes of this show's discussion. And Allah just put it in my mind at the last second to use it to close out that article. So I really want to thank him and thank all the brothers and sisters. But use logic, use reasoning. The Quran calls upon us to use reasoning. And we cannot allow the enemy of our liberation any longer to pull us down with cheap stories and cheap tricks. Just understand who Allah is, who his messenger is, and who their divine representative is. And may Allah bless all of us with love and the light of understanding. And remember to visit avaspeaks.com. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you for listening to and participating in Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Be sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. If you enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing for a brand new season.